would just like to say good morning for those of you who might be in the parking lot, for those who might be on Zoom, and for those who I can see your faces somewhat through the mask and other things. But it truly is a joy to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity. In a year like 2020, it's really nice to have something that is certain. I think all of us have felt a bit of vulnerability and a bit of unnormalness. I don't even know how to say it. It's not been right. It's been different. And to be able to have the confidence and the trust that we have in God has been ever so present on the forefront of my mind. And being able to gather with God's people to, like the gentleman said in the prayer, do nothing but worship Him and set everything else aside in our minds and our life is truly a blessing. And I hope throughout this lesson, I hope throughout the rest of this year and whatever time we have left, that will be on the forefront of our minds. The simple joy and the confidence we have to be able to gather together and worship our God. I think a year like this is a great reminder that we lack control of a lot of things that perhaps we would like control of. But isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a blessing to have a God that is in control? No matter what happens to us physically in this life, that we do have confidence to be with Him forever. And so thank you for allowing me to be with you again. I'd like to start the lesson by reading a quote from, for those of you who know me pretty well, it's my favorite literary section, it's my favorite author, my favorite series of all time. I guess all time part can be debated. But J.R.R. Tolkien had written a series of books that were heavily influenced by Anglican beliefs, Catholic beliefs, and it's ever present if you've ever taken time to read through The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, you can see these themes really present throughout a lot of things that he says. But specifically here, as we look forward to a new year, or perhaps as we thought last year, as we look forward to a new year, little did we know what 2020 would turn out to be. So maybe we might not celebrate 2021 as much as we did 2020, but as we think about starting fresh, as we think about perhaps coming up with new resolutions, as we think about maybe changes we'd like to make in our life, there's a particular quotation that I've been very fond of for a long time, but perhaps because of the present state of things, I think it meant a lot more to me. And it says something like this, after some of the main characters have kind of gathered together and they realize the great task, the dangerous task, the darkness and the shadow that is been present, and now they're going to have to do something about it. One of the characters pipes up and says, I wish it need not have happened in my time. And I feel like all of us looking back now, perhaps you feel that very way this morning. I wish none of this would have happened to me, to us, to this nation, to this world, with this virus, with all the death and destruction that's going on right now. We just wish it wouldn't have happened. I feel like we can all relate to that. But I want you to pay attention specifically to what J.R.R. Tolkien says in response to this as he's writing this narrative out. One wise old character says, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." He's going to go on to say a lot of other things, but I just want you to think about that phrase for a moment. All we have to decide is what to do with the time given to us. In a world that so much is outside of our control, perhaps there are so many hardships and struggles that we have to face on a daily, hourly basis. Sometimes we fight against it with all of our will. We try to change the present, we try to change the outcome, we try to change the inevitable. But as this author has responded to this great question, this great expose of how I feel like we all feel right about now, isn't necessarily dwelling on the fact that, what is happening to us, but rather all we can do, all we have to decide, all the choices that we have to make is what to do with the time that is given to us. And by the way, that is a very scriptural thought. If you'll turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 for a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at two different phrases that are repeated a number of times throughout the New Testament, specifically by the Apostle Paul, that have to do with this very thing. And it's kind of ironic because the way that Paul phrases it is very similar to how this particular author, J.R.R. Tolkien, has phrased it in this book, The Fellowship of the Ring. I want you to notice, beginning in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5, "Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." Verse 16, "Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But make best use of the time, for the days are evil." That particular phrase, I feel like, is a very common and yet very deep phrase to think about, similar to what we read in that quotation a few minutes ago. Perhaps you can think and reflect upon this last week. Think about some of the choices that you made, perhaps that necessarily weren't urgent choices, but nevertheless they affected perhaps your mood or your day-to-day activities. They had a lasting effect throughout this week. I want you to think about, was that the best use of your time, to spend so much time on that pesky little house project that just drove you nuts and caused you and your wife or your spouse or you and your kids to argue or have some kind of animosity between you this week? I remember there were several times where there were some projects that my parents expected me to do, and I'm like, it's the summertime, like, I want to go shoot basketball, I want to go do anything but do work. Like, I want to go summertime for having fun, right? And so there was always this sense of man, like, I wish we could just do some other things. I wish there were some things that need not have happened to me at the time. But instead of dwelling on the fact that I wish these things would have happened, or my idea was better, or I knew better than my dad or my parents, I had a better plan for what should have happened. What I should have been thinking about was, what was the better use of my time? Going out and having fun and doing the things that I wanted to do? Or being a good child? Or being obedient to my father? Or having quality time with my parents or my siblings? Or doing something that was going to be constructive, to learn life lessons. You see, this can go on and on. And so while this is a very deep spiritual concept, I want you to understand that there's also some very simple and plain physical attributes to this. I think sometimes the simplest things can be the hardest of lessons for us to learn. You ever think about that in your life? Have there ever been something that was just really, really simple concept, and everybody else understood it, but whether the place you were in your life, or perhaps the things that your environment, or the things you wanted to do, and you really didn't want to spend any time dealing with this particular thing, but you just had a really hard time with it. I remember back when I was in, I guess, I don't even know when they start multiplication tables anymore, but I remember multiplication tables used to be the hardest thing, and the one that caught me up, and I guess you guys are going to really think I'm really probably done for this, but anytime you multiply something by zero, I just had a really hard time with that. And everybody else would look at me in class and be like, man, like, why doesn't he get that? Like, that's so simple. Anything multiplied by zero is zero. But you know what I would always do? I would always look at the number before that. And that would just throw me in a loop. Instead of looking at the simple thing, which is there a zero after the multiplication, I would look at the number before that. I would look at the 2 or the 9 or the 7 or whatever. It was such a simple concept, but because of where I was, because of my tunnel vision, because I wasn't looking at the deeper meaning of that super simple multiplication table, I had a really hard time getting that. Now that you guys really think I'm dumb, perhaps you can think about something in your life that maybe worked out that way. Maybe there was something really, really simple on paper that you just really wrestled with and struggled with. No doubt all of us have dealt with something like that. So we come across a phrase like, make the best use of the time, for the days are evil. What does your mind immediately start thinking about? For Christians, hopefully our very initial reaction to that is, okay, spiritually speaking, how can I make the best use of every moment of my life? And you would be very correct in thinking that. But even for people who aren't very spiritual, perhaps people who aren't even Christians, if they would read a phrase like that, they would immediately start looking for the deep things in their life that perhaps they could maximize and make the most profit out of. And no doubt they would also be right in thinking that. So this is a very, very simple concept, but it has a very deep impact and implication. And so part of what he's going to address here, and part of it, I want you to notice some of the context of which he gives. Perhaps we can draw out some applications from this and a few other passages. But I want you to notice the context of this specifically is not wasting our time on sexual immorality like he talks about in verse 3. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. In other words, there's a lot of things that we are going to be drawn to that are really enticing, that are really fun, they're really funny, that's going to be amusing to us. But they are just simply not worth our time as children of light, which is exactly what he described this in verse 8. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. That should be the characteristic that people will identify us by. We are children of light. He or she is a disciple of Christ. They are concerned with what is righteous, what is true, what is honest, what is pure. That is what defines us. And by the way, others should know that too. Otherwise, can we really say we're making the best use of our time if nobody knows we're a Christian? Can we really say that? Probably not. But not just that. I want you to know specifically the reference he makes by talking about make the best use of the time for the days are evil is all concentrated on the idea of wisdom, walking in wisdom. So for those of you who are older, you kind of have to be careful about this. You have obviously seen many, many more days, or I guess I shouldn't say many. You've seen more days than perhaps some of those who are younger in this audience. You've no doubt dealt with more spiritual difficulties, perhaps spiritual controversies between Christians and churches and places. You've seen a lot more, you've heard a lot more, you've been able to overcome more, no doubt. So maybe you have a better grasp of this than I do, and I would probably be concerned if you didn't. We cannot mitigate this idea of walking in wisdom, no matter what age, no matter what point in the walk with God that you are. And by the way, for those of you who are older, who perhaps have more wisdom about you, this is a great opportunity for you to pass that down. This is a great opportunity. And I was actually talking with one of the guys that preaches for us at South Coleman about some of the lessons he was going to present in the next few months. And he's actually going to be gone for several weeks preaching at another place. And so I was just kind of, you know, inquiring, like, what kind of things are you going to talk about? What are you going to try to encourage them about? And just kind of, what's your plan when you're out there? And he said, you know, I really want to talk about roles. And I was like, whoa, okay. Well, that's, you know, that might be a little bit difficult depending on where you're at. So what do you mean by roles? I just simply mean by the idea of some of the older women being able to teach the younger and some practical ways they can do that. I said, okay. He said, and some of the older men who have experienced the leadership and opportunity and have had opportunity to go out and evangelize to people, who've had chances to teach and correct and mold the hearts and minds of young men. I said, give them the opportunity, give them the tools that they need so they can pass that down like they should. And I said, you know, that's pretty neat. I said, we don't often think, well, usually when we hear the word roles, our mind usually goes to what can men do and what can women can't. And even people in the world often, that's the first thing when they hear about gender roles or gender identity, that's the first thing that they're going to go to. When we're talking about walking in wisdom, for those of you who are older, this is a great opportunity for not only you to do something good for the younger generations, but it's imperative, spiritually speaking, that you fulfill this role to pass down some of that judgment, some of that wisdom, some of that leadership that you've been able to experience. And for those of us who are younger, we can't kick that away like it doesn't mean anything. Yes, they did grow up in a different decade. Yes, there was different types of music that were much more popular then than they are now. Yes, they dressed in really different clothes than you and I probably dress in now. Although, I'll tell you, the 80s are coming back, apparently, because everybody I see out is wearing high-waisted light jeans and leather. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe I'm the one that's not stylish then, I guess. I guess that's the takeaway from that. But maybe they're not like us. But we can't discount them just because we may not understand where they came from. Because the truth is, there is nothing new under the sun, as Solomon says. And they have seen more suns than we have. And there's no doubt many things we could learn from them. We must walk in wisdom. We must be aware of our surroundings. We must be aware of... We cannot be naive to the issues that are at hand, to the spiritual dangers that are at hand, to the temptations that are about us. But rather, we must make the best use of our time. Walking as children of light and walking in the wisdom of God. This is the only place that Paul talks about this. I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, starting there in verse 2. He's going to say there, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of that which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech also be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." We find this exact same phrase in honestly a very similar context. Paul's actually been talking to this church about some specific rules and designations and helpful advice for Christian households and people who are masters and people who are bondservants and the relationship and the duties and obligations we had towards those specific things. But I want you to notice some of the specific things he mentions here as well about making the best use of the time. The first thing he's going to mention is the idea and the concept of prayer. And by the way, closely related to that, and perhaps a very close second, and even the same phraseology in verse 2 and 3 is the idea of being hospitable, or perhaps being sanctified, being set apart for those who would be different than us, those outsiders who would see us, who would come to us, who would be passing through, who would notice that we're different. It's very important that we make the best use of the time we're in the presence of those particular people. If we need more evidence of that, we can just go to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's basically what that entire chapter is about. Being set apart, being sanctified, being this royal priesthood, being set apart when we're in the presence of those who perhaps do not know God, do not know the value of Christianity, do not know the hope of heaven. There's a very important role and function that we have in those people. So we must be very diligent and careful about making the best use of our time in the presence of those people. But the idea of prayer. How much time did you spend in prayer last week? I'm not going to ask anybody to throw out a number or write it down on a piece of paper or anything like that. But I just want you to think about how much time did you spend in prayer last week? Maybe you're like me and sometimes you have a hard time remembering. Let's just make it easy. How much time did you spend in prayer yesterday? Most of us could probably remember yesterday, right? With that idea in mind, how does that compare perhaps to what Scripture might say about the idea of prayer? Continue steadfastly. Pray without ceasing. Not to say necessarily that there's not a moment that we cannot be praying, otherwise we're going to be into some sinful relationship. I don't think that's the point of that. But I think the idea of that Scripture is absolutely true. There's no bad time for prayer. There's no bad time for prayer. Are we making the best use of our time in our prayer life? No doubt in a moment in time like this when there's a lot of struggling, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of discouragement abounding. There's no better time to pray. Pray for those people who are hurting. Pray for the people who are struggling. Pray for yourself to have wisdom. Pray for yourself and your family and the ones that you love to be diligent in walking as children of light, as we just talked about, to walk in wisdom. Walk in hopefulness. That is what we need. Continue steadfastly in prayer and be watchful in it with thanksgiving. That's supposedly, or particularly, the second part of this. the idea to pray for those who perhaps are ministering to others, specifically Paul himself, that they may be able to declare the mystery of Christ accurately and intensively and purposefully and diligently, that he can make it clear which is how I ought to speak. There is no shortage of things that we can spend time praying in. Our job is, all we have to decide is, are we going to make the best use of our time being devoted to prayer? Not just that, he says that in verse 6, let your speech be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to you ought to answer each one. What did you talk about last week? If you were to categorize all of your conversations that you had, let's just make it easy with one person, with your spouse. What did you spend the most time talking about with your spouse? Was it work? Was it that annoying driver that you always seem to get stuck behind on your way home from work or your way to work? Was it the football games? Was it the activities you enjoy doing? Was it how annoying your kids sometimes are because they don't ever listen to what you say? It happens. What did you spend the most time talking about this week? Did you make the best use of your time? Notice when Paul said in Ephesians, he said, because the days are evil, so there's almost a sense of urgency that we should all have. Did you make the best use of your time? No doubt as we all reflect, we understand that there's probably a lot of time when we spent talking about things that really didn't matter. Perhaps things that were less important than the salvation of our souls and those that we love. Let's be determined to be better. Perhaps I should just make it personal for me because this is something I've struggled with this year. I need to be better. I need to be more prayerful. I need to be more attentive to my speech. I need to make the best use of time in every aspect of my spiritual walk. But let's specifically think about the idea of prayer and speech, walking as children of light and walking. There's another phrase I want to address here before we close. And that's Galatians chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me. Galatians chapter 6. Not so far off from this phrase, but starting there in verse 9. He says there, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do not grow weary of doing good. And I want you to notice the motivation or the reasons for this that he gives in these two verses. The first one is the reward. Does heaven motivate you to be different? Does the hope that we have through Christ Jesus change the way that we conduct ourselves every day? I know that seems kind of like a really silly question, a really simple question. But the only reason I ask that is because sometimes when I ask myself that question, I'm not sure if I can really give a definitive answer. Because all the things we've talked about prior to this, my prayer doesn't always reflect it. My speech doesn't always reflect it. My actions don't always reflect it. The way I talk to people, you get the idea. So if those things are going to define our life one way or another, how is this concept of not growing weary and doing good, how does the idea of my hope and salvation through Christ Jesus, is it really the definition of my life? It is so imperative, friends, that this is on the forefront of our mind every single day. It's imperative. In the same way that the idea of our speech and sanctification in the way in every aspect of our spiritual walk, if one of those threads starts to loosen, there's a great chance that other ones will too. We must make the best use of our time, and when we do, we cannot grow weary in it. Do not grow weary because of the reward that we have if we remain faithful. Notice that's the key here to the end of verse 9. If we do not give up, but then when that is accomplished, and because that is accomplished, let us do good to everyone as we have opportunity. If you're like me, in conversations I've had with different preachers or just different friends, I guess the one chief complaint about all the stuff with COVID and all the stuff with this year is the idea that it seems like there's just been a lack of opportunity to have studies with people, one-on-one interactions, to invite people to services because things have just been so messed up. And I've said that time and time again, and I've expressed that displeasure who knows how many times this year. But I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the opportunities that you might have. Let's just say this upcoming week, we'll just give us a good 7-day reference period because it's fresh in our minds. This upcoming week, are you going to limit yourself of opportunity just because of where we are in the world? Just because the state of the uncertainty and the mask and the lack of social interaction, are we going to allow the Word of God, the wisdom of God, walking as children of light to define who we are in our opportunities and how we're going to conduct ourselves in the light that we're going to shine to other people? We don't get to decide the state of the world or what someone else is going to think or the rules that our government makes, or we don't have decisions in any of that. But what we do have a choice in is seeking out those opportunities. Because no matter how much I have complained and expressed my displeasure in, the fields are ripe for harvest. We just have to be willing to look. And sometimes we have to be willing to pull up Facebook or Twitter. Jim calls it Tweeter. It might be a little unconventional in 2020. But friends, there is opportunity aplenty. Let's be busy about finding it. Let's be committed to be diligent. Let's not let the circumstances define who we are, but rather let's let our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, define who we are and define how we're going to seek out our opportunities. Let us not grow weary in doing good. And he repeats this phrase again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. As he's dealt with a number of issues regarding the resurrection, against the second coming, against specifically in chapter 3, he's going to deal quite a bit with the idea of idleness. But in chapter 3, verse 13, he says that, "But as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good, for it is not better to be idle." There is no business for a Christian to be idle. There's nothing but danger and despair to be found. He's going to talk about the idea if someone doesn't work, he doesn't even deserve to eat. So there's this very necessary, active lifestyle that Christians must possess. But when we do achieve these things, when we are centered around Christ, when we are making the best use of our time, when we are preserving and we're pushing on and we're pressing on, as Paul talks about in Philippians 2 and 3, when we are accomplishing all those spiritual deeds, we must have endurance no matter what circumstances come our way. Let's make the best use of our time. Let's start with this week. Let's start with tomorrow. Let's renew that commitment every single day. And when time passes and circumstances make that maybe a little bit more difficult, perhaps it's sickness, perhaps it's your job, perhaps it's your relationships, when the strain starts being put on, let us remember to not grow weary in doing good, for there is great value to our God. Maybe this morning you need to make a commitment. If we can just borrow the phrase that we've been repeating over and over, maybe this morning, right this second, you need to make the best use of your time, because you realize that you need to be buried in baptism with Jesus Christ. You need forgiveness of your sins. Why would you wait? Why would you risk leaving here and not ever giving it another second thought? Why would you risk the danger and the influence of the world if you know you need to do it? Let's make the best use of this time. For those of you who have done that, like everybody else in the world, you've been struggling. The simple reminder from the Apostle Paul to do not grow weary in doing good. I feel like that's a message we could all take away. And perhaps you need to renew your covenant with Him this morning. If there's anything we can help you with this morning, there's good brethren to be willing to help. If you would only come as we stand and sing the song.